The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to give you a few thoughts about spiritual gifts. I had quite a bit of response to me personally, emails, phone calls, texts and everything about the sermon on spiritual gifts the other Sunday. And so I thought I would just give you a few more thoughts about it from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll finish up for tonight. This will not be an in-depth, but it will be a a biblical exposition of some of the salient points concerning spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Let's start off in 1 Corinthians 12 and the first three verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, let me again remind you, this was obviously a question, a concern that had been sent to the Apostle Paul. When you study the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, take the first couple of chapters. They are introductory in terms of basic relationships, Paul's pastoral purpose and his commentary to this church that he spent 18 months with. And then the epistle addresses seven questions, and you can spot those questions by the grammatical framing of them. Now concerning this. Now concerning. When you see that, now concerning, Paul is answering a question that had been sent to him from the church at Corinth. One of the questions was about spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, just a couple of thoughts there. The first thing that he is telling you is that spiritual gifts need to be understood from the framework of God's Word, not the framework of personal experience. In fact, that's a general principle that I would like to lay before you for life. Do not build your theology for life from your experiences in life. Build your theology for life from the Word of God, whereby you interpret your experiences in life. If you build your life based upon experiences, then you have opened yourself wide for Satan to lead you, and I'm quoting him, lead you astray. He has multiple ways to lead you astray. In fact, the Apostle Paul will say to the church at Thessalonica, he will say to that church, he will directly address them and tell them that there was coming a last day, and in the last days, there would, in the nominal professing church, there would be a general apostasy because people would become susceptible to Satan's false teaching because they were consumed with signs, wonders, and miracles. And what Satan would do is then do false signs, wonders, and miracles with, and I quote, with power, and that would lead them astray. But then Paul said, but not the elect of God. The elect of God will not be led astray because they have received the knowledge of the truth. What keeps them focused on Christ, what keeps them from being led astray to false doctrine is they were not searching for an experience which opens up the opportunity for Satan to lead you astray. They were searching the Word of God to know the God of the Word and the majesty and preeminence of Christ. So what you want to do is to build anything in life, including spiritual gifts, not on the basis of your experience in life, because then Satan can lead you astray to idolatry in various ways. So you don't want to be led astray. You want to be led by Christ to Christ, and that only happens with His Word. His Word alone is the foundation and capstone of our life. So He says, I want you, now when it comes to spiritual gifts, I want you to understand, not your experience, I want you to understand what the Spirit of God is doing. He says, let's start with this. If you hear anybody blaspheme or demean the name of Christ, then you know the Spirit of God does not work. Why? Remember what Jesus said? He said, I want you to bear witness of me. When you shall receive power by the Holy Spirit, you will bear witness of me in Acts chapter 1. And what he is saying is two things. One, you cannot be Christ-centered and Christ-exalting without the Spirit of God. And number two, if you have the Spirit of God, you can't help but be Christ-exalting and Christ-centered. Because the Spirit of God did not come to bring attention to Himself or even attention to His spiritual gifts. Everything He does, everything He accomplishes, even the dissemination of spiritual gifts to the body of Christ is always for the preeminence of Christ. It's not for the preeminence of the Holy Spirit. It is not for the preeminence of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is for the preeminence of the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is a powerful witness of Christ. So he says, if the Spirit of God is working in a church with spiritual gifts, then Jesus will not be demeaned, but Jesus will be exalted. For no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that important? Well, that is important because where the church was in the day at Corinth and in the days of the Apostle Paul, it was under the rule of an empire. And that empire was Rome. And in that empire, maybe you have seen, let me use this illustration. Maybe you have looked back at the old newsreels. I don't think anyone is here old enough to have experienced it. You're so youngsters looking out there. But perhaps you've looked at the newsreel and you've seen the moment whenever Adolf Hitler would come into the crowd. Immediately everyone would snap to attention and the Nazi salute would be given and the incantation to the Führer would take place. That would be immediate. Well, in Rome is the same way. As soon as you met someone, the greeting for a Roman was this: Caesar is Lord. And by that, they meant deity and supremacy. And the believers began to die for Christ in Rome because they would not say Caesar is Lord. They would only say Jesus is Lord. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that one day you came to your senses and said that Jesus is Lord. It was one day the Holy Spirit brought you to your senses and you said, Jesus is Lord. So here, having established the supremacy of the Word, the preeminence of Christ, he's now ready to take on the issue of spiritual gifts. And what does he say? Let's look at verse 4 now, the next paragraph. Now, again, I'm not going over all in depth on this. I'm just going to give you some basic distillation points about spiritual gifts. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service. Now, folks, if you don't mind, it is here that I am going to retreat to my earlier days of ministry for 20 plus years in which I used the New American Standard Bible. And I still retreat to it on a number of cases because
I believe it is an unbelievably accurate translation, and this is one of the paragraphs that I think the NAS has a better translation than the ESV. I love the ESV. I think it's an excellent translation, and that's why I'm glad to use it along with the Presbyterian Church in America. It is a literal equivalent, but in some of the places, I think they have missed a few things, and this is one of them. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give you this in how I think it ought to be translated. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service. I would encourage you to put the word ministries there. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. Again, I think the NAS is more accurate from the original. It should read this. There are varieties of effects, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So let's stop there. Spiritual gifts, just like everything else in your life, must be viewed from a Trinitarian framework. Creation is an act of the Trinity. The Father authored your creation. Everything was created through the Son and for the Son. And the Spirit of God hovered over the creation in its primordial act, bringing order to it. Creation is Trinitarian. Redemption, salvation is Trinitarian. Ephesians 1 tells us in verses 3 through 6, the Father has authored your salvation to the praise of His glorious grace. Verses 7 through 12 declare, the Son of God has accomplished your salvation to the praise of His glorious grace. And then verses 12, 13, and 14 declare that the Spirit of God has applied that salvation and sealed you into Christ to the praise of His glorious grace. The Father authored, the Son accomplished, and the Holy Spirit applied. In the doctrine of providence, God has declared a promise. The Father has promised that all things work together for good. He accomplishes that through the present now intercession of Christ who ever lives to pray for you. And then the work of His providence is the Holy Spirit at work in your life and in the body of Christ. Whether it's creation, redemption, or providence, all of life is Trinitarian. The gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. God is a God who dwells as one God in three persons. Spiritual gifts are to be understood from a Trinitarian framework. The Father has ordained the effects of your ministry, of your gift. The Son has established the ministries for your gifts. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has gifted you. You have the manifestation of the Spirit. The reason you have a spiritual gift is because the Holy Spirit is taking who you are and what He's doing by the design of Christ to the glory of the Father. He has now had, the Holy Spirit has gifted you to fit into a ministry for the preeminence of Christ to accomplish an effect that is ordained of the Father. So you are to see your spiritual gifts, their presence, and their ministry in a Trinitarian framework. Of course, this is very much important for us. Am I keep going in and out? Do I notice that?
Yeah. Well, this is supposed to be on. It says low battery and slow preacher.
So I'll just stay right here and we'll try to take it right here. OK, so what is it that we need to
So what is it that we need to say? There's another thing I wanted to bring out here because I think this is really important. I hear people miss, there's a law that God has established called the law of causality. And I hear people say it for every, and they say it wrongly, and you're opening yourself up in terms of how to defend the faith. You're kind of giving an opening that you shouldn't give. Everybody will say, well, for everything there is a cause. And that's not true. It's kind of like the statement, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. Well, that's not true. What's the one case of absolute power? This isn't hard. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. I mean, all power is where? In God. Any power you have in your life, any power a president has, a king has, a pastor has, an elder has, you have, employer has, any power you have has been designated to you by God, because all power is with God. Now, is God corruptible? This isn't hard either. No. So sometimes there are things that are said that we don't really think through, and we get trapped in a world and life view that's really unbiblical. And one of them is that for everything there is a cause. Well, that's not true. There is someone called God, and He is the uncaused one, and the one who causes all things. And the effects of spiritual gifts, like any other effect, exists because God exists. It is of Him and from Him and unto Him. Therefore, to Him, the presence ought to be devoted for His glory. So what would be more appropriate is to say not that for everything there is a cause, but for every effect there is a cause. Sometimes there are secondary causes. God accomplishes things. There's the primary cause, and He'll accomplish things through your spiritual gift. And you become the secondary cause because the primary cause has equipped you by the Spirit to do a ministry for the Son in the body of Christ for His glory. And all of it has been declared by God for His glory. Now, one of the reasons I'm taking the time to do this is I want you to understand, if you're not using your spiritual gift, this is sacred treason. God has given you this gift for an effect, and that effect ought to be seen in a ministry. God the Father has ordained the effect of your gift given by the Spirit to be ministered in the preeminence of Christ. Why would we not use it as good stewards of what He has given to us? And the other reason I'm laboring at it is because I want you to know your spiritual gift is there for a purpose. God has an effect for it. It may not be the same effect He has for someone else's gift, but it's a crucial effect. It's a necessary effect. Your life for Christ with your spiritual gifts matter. There are no small people, small gifts. They have all been given for an effect through the Spirit to the preeminence of Christ. So you have a purpose that God has ordained to be accomplished through you. Now, let me tell you what I won't say. I won't say, and by the way, if you don't do it, then God can't get it done. Listen, for instance, if you've got the gift to praise God and you don't do it, God can raise up stones to give praise to Him. So God's arm's not going to be shortened. I remember one time I was away during a conference. And I was away during the conference, so I had secured a speaker who was going to speak on missions for the church, and the elders had approved it, but he hadn't sent in his title, and I was already gone. And as I left, one of the elders wrote and said to me, "Oh no, Pastor, I'm just doesn't set well with me. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, we just got his title, and the title is 5 things God can't do." Pastor, this doesn't sound right to me. And I said, well, praise the Lord, you've been listening. There's only one thing God can't do. God can't quit being God. He is eternal. He is immutable. He is impassible. He is unchangeable. He is forever. And He is always faithful. If we don't do what God has ordained for us to do, then God will get it done as God desires to get it done for His glory. And even if we work, not only don't do by neglect what He's called us to do, even if we labor against Him, He will not be shortened. He will still accomplish His purposes. Folks, if you want a big life, you got to get a big God. And our God is relentlessly unstoppable to secure His glory. And that is the ultimate effect of your spiritual gift when you use it in the kingdom for the preeminence of Christ. Well, then go on to look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So let me attack another shibboleth. And that's this. Well, I want to find out my spiritual gift for personal fulfillment. No, you do not have a spiritual gift for personal fulfillment. Now, let me further complicate this. Do you get personally fulfilled when you use your spiritual gift? Probably. But you don't get a spiritual gift for personal fulfillment. You get the spiritual gift for the common good. We, of course, rightly say you can't come to Christ in a group plan. You have to make a personal commitment to Christ. Now, folks, let me stop here. I never want to get by any sermon without making abundantly clear. There is a holy God and we are sinners. And we're dead in our sins and we cannot save ourselves. And no man-made religion or resolution can save us. We need to be saved by God's grace for His glory. And I've got good news is that God has sent His Son to be that Savior who now offers to all of humanity the free gift of eternal life. Now, will you come to Him? I pray you'll come to Him because no one else can come to Him for you. The gate is narrow. Only one fits through at a time. But sometimes, knowing that salvation is personal, we think the Christian life is personal. It is not. You are members of the body of Christ. You aren't made to live isolated, independent. You are made to live in an interdependent relationship with God's people and together fully dependent upon the grace of God and desiring the glory of God. Even your spiritual gift was given to you personally, but not for personal fulfillment, but for the common good. That God has you gifted so that the body can function well. I tried to use the illustration of the man who had no legs, and he found a way to walk on his arms. I watched him do it in front of the White Castle restaurant on Tryon Street growing up as he stood out and found a way with blocks of wood to walk with his arms. But how much better would he have walked if he had had his legs? In the body of Christ, the legs need to show up. And the legs need to be cultivated and encouraged to serve the Lord with confidence that God has you there. And God has you there for the common good so that the body of Christ can proclaim the message and accomplish its mission to the glory of God. And you have a gift that's absolutely essential. I almost started to sing, but I figured it probably wouldn't pass muster ultimately as biblically faithful and theologically. But it does come from Ezekiel. I mean, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone, and the shin bone's connected to the knee bone. And I'm just about to start singing any moment.
We are connected to one another. God's designed it, and the effect is glorious. So let's connect. Let's enter into these interdependent relationships with our gift is there for the common good. Our gift is not there for everybody else on the team where we serve to bow down to our gift. Our gift is there to interdependently work with the other gifts in the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can serve the Lord effectively. But we say no to Lone Ranger Christianity. Then look at the next verse. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, that is a spiritual gift for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions them to each one individually as he wills. Now, two distillations from that. Number one is this. The church at Corinth had, of course, enjoyed the ministry of apostles. So because this was still the age of the apostles and the age of revelation, then many of the extraordinary gifts that were signs and wonders that credentialed an apostle as an agent of revelation would have been present. And so, but those gifts and those abilities, and those spiritual gifts were germane to the apostolic ministry of completing the Scripture. And once the apostles had done their job of completing the Scriptures, then the office of the apostle has gone, and the gifting and the credential gifts of being able to do signs, wonders, and miracles has gone with it. Now, I did not say that God has ceased doing miracles. I did not say that. What I did say was the ability to do them through the laying on of hands that was germane to identifying an agent of revelation, an apostle, that once the apostolic ministry was finished and the word of God was given, we don't need those gifts of the infancy of the church. In other words, the extraordinary gifts that belong to the apostles and all revelatory gifts have ceased. Why? Because we have their product, the word of God. It's finished. The last author, let no one add or subtract to the words of this book. So, at least from this pulpit, you will never hear anyone. If you do, then call the fire department or something. You will never hear anyone stand up and say, you know, y'all don't need to open up your Bibles today. I have a word from the Lord. No, we have the word of the Lord. From the Lord, and anything from this pulpit is to be an act of illumination of God's revelation that He has given to us, not another act of revelation. That has been completed. Then the second thing that I want you to see is the way that he makes this statement. All these things are empowered by the same Spirit who apportions them to each individually as he wills. So whatever gift the Holy Spirit has given you to be in a ministry for Christ, for the effect that the Father has ordained, he designed it sovereignly just for you. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has given you your gift and has designed it for you. Now, what is abundantly clear in the Bible and in other texts, and I'm at the conclusion of the time allotted to distill what I could from this text for you. What is abundantly clear is that your spiritual gift, I can't move. Your spiritual gift is not static. In other words, you don't get a spiritual gift and it just remains static your whole life. Number one, the Bible calls you to stir up your gift, to mature it, to perfect it, to work on it. in just a couple of, some weeks every year, the session sends me away for a 3-week study sabbatical. And I give them during that 3 weeks the objectives, and all of those objectives, to some degree or another, are there for me to attempt by God's grace to grow in the use of the spiritual gift that He's given to me. That I want it to keep growing. And I don't want to wait just 3 weeks out of every year. Every day I want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me be a learner. Help me be a grower. Perfect what You've given to me. And as He perfects it, and as you seek to be perfected, you will find your gift is not static. It's dynamic. It's developing. The way I tried to use the illustration, and this is the one that communicates to me the best, is a snowflake. Every snowflake looks like a snowflake, but yet each snowflake is utterly unique. Yet in the trip from the cloud to the earth, the configuration of that snowflake is going to change multiple times. And in the course of your life, your spiritual gift is unique, and it's going to configure itself in various ways, and it's going to be matured, and it's going to become dynamically perfected as it works in life, even in changes of ministry places. Philip started out as a deacon. He ended up as an evangelist preacher. Stephen started out as a deacon. He ended up as a preacher. It is amazing how the Lord might configure your gift and develop it throughout the years as you seek to mature it. Pastor, how can I get started in using my spiritual gift? I knew you were going to ask me that tonight. Thank you so much for doing that. Our dear brother Ray Tucker is going to be developing a series, and we're going to work on some curriculum to be approved by our session for our lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. And one of the areas is going to be how to discover and to use and develop and deploy your spiritual gifts. But you don't have to wait for that. You can go ahead and call that same world-famous overseer of assimilation at Briarwood, Ray Tucker, right now. And you can meet with him. And there are all kinds of ministries for Christ that are already here. And they have places for you to get involved. And why is that important? Well, here's what's going to happen. We want to create a way. If God has effects for you, He has laid those effects upon your heart. The old term for that was calling. The new day is passion. He's given you a passion for something. And the best way to find out your gift is to begin to move toward your passion. Your passion may be worship. Your passion may be evangelism. Your passion. Now, listen, we all worship. We all evangelize. We all disciple. We're all being discipled. Yes, but your passion may be to focus in one of those areas. And then as you get started, you begin to find out the peculiarities and idiosyncrasies and specificities of your spiritual gift. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is get started and let people give you feedback. Get started somewhere. Find out. Start moving forward. I mean, if a car sitting still in the driveway, it's hard to change its direction. But once it starts moving, it's a lot easier to turn the wheels. A moving ship, a moving car, a moving truck is always easier to redirect where it ought to be once it gets moving. So get moving forward and start using your gifts and find out. In fact, we have tried to make, and now I'm going to be very personal, at Briarwood, we have tried to say to our ministries, make places for people to get involved where they don't have to sign up for the next 25 years. But they can find out over a period of time, is this my passion? Is this where my gifts are? And they can begin to use it. So I promise you, you don't have to sign up to teach the fifth grade Sunday school class for the boys for 25 years to get started. We'll find a way to get you started and find out, is that gift of teaching, is it service, is it administration, is it leadership, is it hospitality? We all give hospitality, but some of us are gifted at it. And you start moving forward in those areas. The Holy Spirit has gifted you to do that. My final comment in my 1 minute left is this. Say no to pride and arrogance. Can I tell you how? Number one, your spiritual gift you didn't come up with. The Holy Spirit gave it to you. For the effect that the Father has ordained in a ministry that Christ has established. Secondly, your spiritual gift is there for the common good, not for your self-absorption and self-exaltation. Thirdly, and here's the one that the rest of the book of Corinthians is, the rest of this chapter is devoted to. I just don't have time to do it this evening. I've done as much as I could, bit off as much as I could. But let me go ahead and tell you this. If you read further, he'll say this. Nobody has a gift that you can say to the rest of the body, I don't need you. We need each other. Everybody doesn't exist to bow down to our spiritual gift and ministry. But we need them. And praise God, they need us. So we say no to pride and arrogance. I mean, I love the way he'll go on to say this. What if the body of Christ was just an eye? But it's hands and fingers and feet and legs. What if it was just an eye? I mean, can you imagine it? A 224-pound eye just rolling around? No, it's an eye with another eye and a head with a brain and a mouth and a nose and ears. And I think maybe there's even something that you got two ears to listen and only one mouth to speak. I mean, there's something that's there in the symmetry and the design. And it tells me, there's no room for my pride and arrogance. I fit in the whole. And the second thing is, don't be jealous and envious of the more visible gifts, because it's the invisible ones that are usually the most important in the body. Some of you have beautiful hair, but if you lose it, it's going to be okay. I know. I know that. You can lose your hair, you'll be fine. There's not a health hazard unless it's falling out in your food. You're okay. But if your liver falls out, you're in trouble. If your kidneys fall out, you're in trouble. If your heart falls out, big trouble. But those things are invisible and we very seldom think about them. It's the things invisible in the body that, quote unquote, are behind the scenes that are so important. So don't be jealous and envious of the more visible. Realize that everyone has that place, that calling, designed by God sovereignly to use you. So there's no room for pride, no room for arrogance, and there's no room for jealousy or envy. But there's a lot of room for this glorious effect of the body of Christ living to the glory of the Father. For our ministries to be to the preeminence of Christ. Done by all of God's people, whom each one has a spiritual gift designed to be developed and deployed. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you so much for your time and for our time in your word this evening. Would you bless my brothers and sisters, and would you bless us as a congregation as we seek a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship in the preeminence of Christ to the glory of the Father for the proclamation of the gospel as the body of Christ acting interdependently in concert with utter devotion to the glory of our God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder. Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.